the story of a woman who went to the doctor's office. And this doctor's office, like many today, had a number of doctors a part of that group. And she was seen by one of the new doctors. But after just a short while in the examination room, she burst out screaming. And she ran down the hall of the clinic. An older doctor whom she had seen before stopped her and asked her what the problem was. And somewhat hysterically, she explained, he had her sit down and relax in another room. And then he marched back to the first doctor and demanded, what's the matter with you? Mrs. Terry is 68 years old. She has 4 grown children, 7 grandchildren, and you told her she was pregnant? The new doctor smiled and finished writing what he was writing and looked up and says, yes, yes, but I cured her hiccups, didn't I? What are you afraid of? Some people are afraid of heights. Some are afraid of closed spaces. Some people are afraid of flying or Alzheimer's or cancer or pain. Almost everyone's afraid of death, particularly a painful or lingering death. Afraid of the dark, afraid of the unknown, afraid of rats or bats or snakes or mice or spiders. People have all kinds of fears, don't they? What makes your heart fearful? Is it possible to overcome your fears? In their scripture reading, we see the disciples in a house with the doors locked because they were afraid of the Jews. Now, the disciples themselves were Jews. So what does it mean they were afraid of the Jews? John, the gospel writer, has been using the term the Jews to refer to Jewish religious leaders throughout that particular gospel. In the context of our gospel reading, these leaders had arrested Jesus 3 nights ago in Gethsemane. The time of our scripture reading is actually Easter evening, Sunday night. Anyway, these leaders had Jesus beaten, whipped, and then crucified as the leader and instigator of an insurrection. They claimed he was claiming to be the king of the Jews. Now, typically what happened in these situations was after the leader was captured and killed, the followers would follow suit. And since Jesus had already been crucified, the disciples could expect no less. So they were afraid of being rounded up by the temple police, handed over to the Romans, and being tortured and killed. It was a logical fear. They weren't jumping at shadows when they locked the doors. At the same time, there were strange reports going on. It was reported that the tomb of Jesus was empty. Some of the women had reported they had seen angels. Others had said they'd seen even Jesus himself. Simon Peter and John had checked it out, and they had also seen that the tomb was empty. Although this account doesn't tell us, by this time in the evening, Jesus has appeared already to Mary Magdalene, to Simon Peter, to James, his brother, and he's appeared to those 2 disciples walking to Emmaus. We don't know who all else has seen him. Perhaps there were more. But the news of these appearances has electrified the disciples. And a bunch of them are meeting together in this room. Was Jesus dead or wasn't he? Were people simply seeing visions, or were they really seeing a person who was alive? The fact is, they weren't sure. They all wanted him to be alive, but everyone knew dead people don't live after they've been killed. They knew that when a body's been beaten and tortured as much as the body of Jesus had, that body dies. They were familiar with violent deaths because of the frequent bloody clashes their people had with the Romans. And then Jesus appears among them. Yes, the doors were locked. So how did that happen? I don't know. Nobody knows. Apparently, Jesus' new resurrection body could do things that his old one couldn't. But But Jesus is in the room, and then he tells his disciples, peace to you. Now, what did the disciples not have at that time? They didn't have any peace. They had anxiety, they had grief, they had confusion. But Jesus says, peace to you. And then, as if to give them peace, he shows them his hands and his side. Now, how would showing his hands and his side help them have peace? It would seem that he's simply reminding them of the horrible tortures the Romans had inflicted on him. No, actually, he's simply assuring them that it was really he, Jesus, who was standing there in their midst. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that happened when they felt the breath of Jesus was a sudden aha for them. When they felt and smelled his breath, they knew this thing in front of them was not just a vision, a ghost, or a hallucination. When he breathed on them, there was a sudden understanding Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead. He had died and was now alive. Now, remember with me the passage of Scripture from Acts. What was going on? We see Peter and the rest of the disciples standing out there in the open, and since he was addressing a large crowd of several thousand people, it was probably near the temple because there weren't large open areas in Jerusalem except close to the temple. And he was speaking to this crowd, identifying himself as a follower of Jesus. He said to them, you that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs. As you yourselves know, this man was you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law, but God raised him up and freed him from death. So, what happened to his fear? Why aren't the disciples still afraid of being arrested and killed? What's the key to why Peter and the rest of them were able to overcome their fears? What's changed from that first Sunday night, the first Easter day, to this day, some 50 days later? Certainly, the circumstances had not changed. The Jewish religious leadership still hated and wanted to stamp out any vestige of the religious movement Jesus had begun. The disciples were clearly endangering their lives by speaking so publicly in Jerusalem. And yet, just as clearly, they are fearless in their speech. The outward circumstances hadn't changed. What had changed was inside the disciples. Peter told the crowd, this Jesus God raised from the dead, and of that, all of us are witnesses. You see, this is the key. Now Peter and the rest of the apostles are witnesses to something monumental, something much bigger than themselves, bigger than their own self-preservation, bigger than their own fears. What's really important is to get this message out. This message is more important than being killed. It's more important than the worry about being hurt. And what was this message? The message is that there is now a way to God. Now there's a true path. Now we have a way to peace with God. Now there's a way to have repentance and forgiveness with God. Now there's a way to knowing we have eternal life. There's a realization this life is only the first chapter, the introduction even. And that's the message that needed to get out. They needed to get out the message of this way. And the way is Jesus. Did you know that the early Christians were called followers of the way? It's true. And this way was what the disciples were so excited about. This way was what they wanted everyone to hear about. So, again, what are you and I afraid of? Perhaps, just like the disciples, We need to see something bigger than ourselves. Perhaps we need to see something monumental, something bigger than our own sense of self-preservation, bigger than our own worries, our own problems, our own fears. Perhaps we need to see something that the world out there desperately needs to hear. And do we see it? Do we truly understand it and see it, that Jesus is the way to God? Do we really understand how much God loves us through the life and sacrifice of Jesus? Do we see and really understand this life is only the beginning, the introduction even? Because when we do see it, when we see it like the disciples did, we will be changed. And God will use us to change the world around us. Amen. Amen.